What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from this Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the Marvel comics we've read in the last few in the last week. I'll be honest, I didn't read too many of them because the time I would normally be reading comic books, I was ill, and the night before I'd gone to a WWE event. So the time I'd put aside to read comics, I didn't read as many. So I've only read four this week. So I read Infinity Warps 4, Avengers 9, I also read Spider-Man 7 and What If the Punisher was Spider-Man was the Punisher. So those are the four I read. So what did you read and what was your highlights of the week?
All right. So the ones that I read quite a few more because I actually had a pretty quiet weekend. It was kind of nice. I did read Avengers number 9, so we'll talk about that. I read Domino number 7, Exiles number 9. I did end up picking up Spider-Geddon number 1, and I was completely lost in that. And then also X-23 number 5 and X-Men Black Mojo number 1. So that was like the Magneto book from last week, but
yeah,
Mojo instead.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was quite a few more I was going to read, but yeah, as I said, life got in the way that week. So let's kick off with the one that we did read was Avengers number 9, which I was a little bit confused, but at the same time I really enjoyed because suddenly you had Namor in there and they're battling underwater and you got all the different heroes in there and they're all and Namor's like, you know, the large sentinels have destroyed the place and they're trying to redo it. And it was this kind of weird thing of like, I don't really know much about Namor, or Namor, however you want to pronounce
it. I'd say Namor, but
yeah, it's kind of like this one of these characters that he's been around for a long time. I see him popping up and stuff. And I always kind of viewed him as like the Marvel Aquaman, but
yes,
yeah. And I don't really know much about him at all. And it was it's like in this one here, it was like, whoa, it came across very much of, you know, this is a, you know, he was bordering on the villain. He was, you know, he was very much, you know, he pretty much killed a superhero. He just like, you know, there was no real saving grace. He was not in a good mood.
Right. So, like Magneto last week, X-Men Black Magneto, Namor has been a character who's alternated between good and bad, but he tends to lean more towards the negative side of things, depending on the writer. That can kind of be tempered with, oh, he's the king. He has to do bad things to keep his kingdom safe. They might not be the best things, but he's doing them for the greater good. This was definitely not a greater good issue. This was definitely flat out mad cackling villain Namor. You mentioned him killing a hero, which was the opening of the book, of course, and the hero was Stingray. So not a major hero by any stretch. He's been an Avenger. He's basically a very, very low-tier Iron Man who happens to fight underwater rather than in the air. So I've got no particular attachment to Stingray, but I do want to say I find the trope of let's kill off the D-list character to prove that the threat is like legitimate or whatever is one of my absolute least favorite tropes. So right from the beginning of this book, I was just like, I am checked out. I don't care. You killed off some random character to prove how much of a, I don't know, a jerk that Namor is or how serious Namor is about protecting them. I'm just like,
one thing I just add on that scene, I was actually quite impressed with, they obviously had this other villain, I can't think of it, was like this
Tiger Shark,
you know, and he's there going, oh, you married my sister, and even he looked shocked when he was killed.
Oh yeah,
you know, the shot of him like, well, you don't, that was like, okay, you've even let like the henchmen here kind of be going, whoa. I did think that was very well done in the fact that even the henchman was a bit like shocked.
I mean, it's a decent interpretation of the trope. The way it was done, it was definitely brutal. I just hate that trope. I think it's lazy writing, which I don't normally say about Jason Aaron, who's the writer of Avengers. He's been writing, he wrote that Thor series with Jane Foster Thor, which is one of my favorite Marvel books of the last several years. He wrote Wolverine and the X-Men quite a while ago, which is one of my favorite X-Men titles from the last decade. So I don't say it lightly, but this book just, I think I'm done with the Avengers title. I skipped the first arc after the first issue. We talked about Avengers 8 a couple weeks ago. I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of back on. And this immediately, I was just like, no, I'm No, I lost it with this trope. I just, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I the series is odd. It's not quite hitting the same mark that the last, like the No Surrender event did. I'm still not sure on this reboot doesn't seem to be going the way I was hoping it was going to go, of being a little bit more streamlined, a little bit more easier for like casual fans just to be able to get in. So I'm going to probably carry on with it, because I did enjoy this book, because sort of having Namor on more in there and just being a badass, and just, I did enjoy that, but it's definitely, it was definitely an interesting one. I'm going to see where it goes, but yeah, it's a bit hit and miss. It's a bit hit and miss. Going to flip now. Amazing Spider-Man. I think it was Amazing Spider-Man
number seven.
This one is basically, it was kind of quite interesting of like having Peter Parker and Boomerang kind of having to work together, because basically Kingpin's trying to get him killed, and kind of almost turning Boomerang into an anti-hero, because obviously they're flatmates, and it was quite good. I've been enjoying where this go. I have actually and the new reboot of Spider-Man. This is the one I'm actually keep going on, because I'm really enjoying this. I don't know if it's just I'm in a Spider-Man zone with Homecoming and the Spider-Man game. I'm just in an Infinity War. I'm just in a good place with Spider-Man and these comic books. I'm just really enjoying them at the minute. They're nice and simple. They are Spider-Man, and it's just what I like from Spider-Man. I know you didn't read them.
Yeah, Spider-Man. I've always liked Spider-Man, but I've never really gotten into his books. So I've tried many times, including with the with the first issue of this series. But I do like that they're just kind of going. It's not world shaking. It's not, you know, the entire world is in danger. It's not even the entire New York is in danger. It's just Spider-Man is in danger, and it looks hopeless for him. And how is he going to get his way out of it? It's perfectly fine to tell stories like that. In fact, they should be telling that story more often than they are. They're doing too many earth-shaking stories and not enough down-to-earth stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm not reading it, but it sounds like the kind of Spider-Man book that they do need at the moment.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. It's kind of casual and it's easygoing, and it's kind of an instant pickup for me. I'm going to keep on the Spider-Man one. I did What If Spider-Man Was
The Punisher, right?
The Punisher. This is where basically he has a black colored suit, because it's about him getting the powers and being a little bit more, he's a bit more of a jerk with it, in the fact of it's not kind of like the Ben Reilly one of before. It's more about like when Peter Parker, he feels like he's underpowered when he's going up against these villains, and he starts using weapons and he starts killing the villains, and like there's even a little twist of like the castles being involved in it, and you know, because of his actions the castles all die, and you know, and he gives up the suit because it's you know, the risk to his friends and stuff. And very dark, very different. I do, these one shots work when they're done like this, because it's from a different angle, different side. It worked. It was a fun little read, and just that little tweak of how you know, the balance could change so much just on how you did it. And this one seemed to work. I mean, obviously they played up on the fact of him having the Punisher logo and all the rest of it, but that thing of, yeah, rather than having webbing, you have bullets or web bullets kind of thing. And you know, because in some ways it's like, yeah, he's facing off against all these villains. It would be a damn sight easier if you just put them down and wouldn't have to keep dealing with them over and over again. And you know, he saves Gwen Stacy kind of thing, of because he stops Green Goblin rather than lets, you know, when he drops her, he kills Green Goblin and saves her. That kind of thing. It's very good. I enjoyed it. But I always like these What-Ifs because they're fun and they're one-shots, and you can pick them up and read them and you can kind of forget about them.
I do like the What-Ifs. I haven't gotten any of the current. I did think about getting this one. But they do need to keep the What-Ifs kind of like spaced out. It shouldn't be a monthly series. It shouldn't be a recurring thing. It should just be something they do every once in a while, which is what they're doing here. This is just a 5-week event, because it's a five Wednesday month. So yeah, we've got the What Ifs this month, which is great. And they get to do things with these stories that they can't do, because as much as we may debate the morality or the ethics of should the superheroes kill the bad guy, should Batman kill Joker, should Spider-Man kill Green Goblin, at the end of the day, we know they're not, because the characters have to keep coming back for more stories. But in these what ifs, they don't. You can kill off the characters and that's the end of the story. And then you can go either way you want with it. You can go with, well, it was a dang good thing that he decided to kill those villains, because now New York is a great place with no villains in it. Or you could go into the, like, the total dark dystopia, which is, hey, the villains, they upped their game too. Escalation. Murder is now just like a normal thing. I don't know which way it went with this book, but it's always kind of interesting to see how it plays out, you know?
So you also read Spider-Geddon?
Yes, I did, because it was a number one issue. I did read Edge of Spider-Verse, or Into the Spider-Verse, when it came out several years ago. So I figured I'd kind of see what was going on here. If you have not read the Spider-Verse comics, just skip, straight up skip, because it's not going to make any sense at all to you. Basically, in Spider-Verse, they were fighting against the Inheritors, which is like psychic vampire super powered god things, and they banished him to a hell dimension, and that's literally what they call it, a hell dimension. But now Dr. Octopus, who is in superior octopus, superior Spider-Man mode, has some new technology he's using, and he's using some of the technology these guys had, so now they're back, and they kill one of the spider characters, and oh no, everything is terrible. But I mean, if you really liked Spider-Verse back when it came out, and if you really want to see some of those characters again, like Punk Spider-Man and Spider-Man Noir, or UK Spider-Man, who's basically Captain Britain with a spider suit, go ahead. It's a continuation of that story, just straight up. So enjoy it. But if you're coming in cold, if you haven't read Spider-Verse, or if you didn't think Spider-Verse was that good, straight up pass. It's more of the same.
Okay, so what other books have you read this week?
So I'm going to lump these together just to kind of save time a little bit. We've got Domino 7, Exiles number 9, and X-Men Black Mojo. And I'm going to lump them together simply because all three of them are really, really weird. Domino has her and her team in, I don't know, some of the Alps, something, very snow-covered place. It might have been Norway. Anyway, snow-covered place where they are hunting vampires who have been dead for so long that they've kind of gone a little bit crazy, and they're throwing a bridal party for themselves. I'm not kidding. It's literally some women. One of them's dressed up in a gown, like a bridal gown. The others are her maids of honor. And their entire dialogue is talking about how great the wedding is going to be while they're fighting Domino and her team. And it's like, the heck is going on here? This is weird even by X-Men standards. And it just kind of goes from there, and it leads into now Domino is going to go hunt vampires for a while. So, okay. It was fun. It was definitely a lot of fun, but a weird, weird tangent. To continue the weird tangent, we go into X-Men Black Mojo. Now, if you don't know Mojo, he is basically a parody of reality TV producers from before reality TV was really a thing. We're talking like the 70s here. So he controls Mojo World, which is in the Mojoverse, which is basically a giant television hub where they produce reality television, which is mostly just superheroes killing each other. So gladiator style. He's been harassing the X-Men for decades now. In this story, he apparently is in San Francisco or something. He runs into the X-Man Blob, the pink guy who you can see his internal organs and his bones and whatnot, at a coffee shop where he is basically stalking one of the other women because he's become infatuated with her. And it's an entire story of Glob trying to coach him in how to woo this otherwise normal person. And it's as insane as that sounds. And I don't know if it worked or not, but it was definitely a ride. It's also the most unique story I've seen with Mojo, because his stories tend to be very, very cut and dry. He comes up with an idea. The X-Men get dragged in. The X-Men try to kill each other. The X-Men defeat Mojo. Move on, rinse, repeat. So I don't think it was a critical story. I have no idea if this is going to lead into something, into the Uncanny X-Men relaunch that's coming up, but probably, unless you really want something really weird or you're a big fan of Mojoverse, you can pass that one. Lastly, what was the last one I said I was going to talk about? Was it X-23? No, X-Isles.
Yeah.
X-Isles number 9, which is literally the X-Isles team dropped into the Arabian Nights stories. So Blink is Aladdin. And I don't mean like gender-bent Aladdin. No, everyone thinks that she is Aladdin from the stories. They even talk to her as if she's like a boy. And okay, there's that. And then Wild Blink, West...
Isn't that the one... She's in Gifted, isn't she?
She's in Gifted. She's one of the main characters in Gifted. Yeah. And then Black Panther from the Old West is now Sinbad, for whatever reason. And then they've got Ali Baba in there. And it literally, the characters just slotted into the Arabian Nights. And I have no idea where they're going with this, except that the person who is imprisoning the person who is telling the 1001 Arabian Nights, you know, the original story, yeah, and that she's imprisoned and she has to read the story every night. The person who imprisoned her, which is the daughter of Nightcrawler, by the way, is Caliph Doom, which it's like, okay, sure. And then there's other random characters in there. Rhino is in there as one of the characters, and it's just honestly, I have no idea where they're going with the story, but I was highly entertained.
Yeah, sometimes it's that thing, isn't it? This is where sometimes comic books can deliver something that is very different, that wouldn't work on any other medium, but it works in a comic book.
I would have to say, out of the three that I just mentioned, Domino, X-Isles, and X-Men Black Mojo, this is the one you should check out if you really want something weird that still kind of makes sense. You can read it on its own. You don't have to necessarily have read the rest of the X-Isles series up to this point. Yeah, it's just nuts, but it's fun nuts. It knows it's not telling a serious story. It's not trying to. It's just having fun. So,
okay, so my final one was Infinity Warps, like number 4, which again is all this kind of weird storyline of Gamora's time is, rather than killing everybody by snapping or killing half the population by clicking her fingers, she's merged two people together in every single in the universe to half the amount of people, which I think is at least a novel way of doing it, because there was no murder, but now you've got all these weird combinations coming up. And then you've suddenly got a load of characters that are in a multiverse trying to get back, getting stones together to go into their multiverse to stop her, to put everything back to normal. So we're just on episode 4. So we know by episode 6, everything's going to go back to normal again. It's this kind of thing of like, I'm at that point of like, it's a 6-part series. I'm going to do the 6 parts just because I'm this far in. It makes no sense. These characters are all over the place, but it's just, it is... I do still feel, and we've mentioned it so many times, they so dropped the ball on this series. They completely just, this was not the right time to do this. And the more I read of it, the more it's just like, I'm not picking up any of, it's like, I think we've got like Weapon Hex is out next week. And it's just like, now I'm just going to finish these 6 parts and hope that this series never kind of, because it's just odd.
Yeah, I didn't read Infinity Wars. As I've mentioned previously, I was just done with the series. It, all of the mini series, all the side projects, all the confusion, and then the story didn't grab me at all. So obviously, Marvel wanted something on the shelves with Infinity Wars in the name, because they've got a movie called Infinity War. They could have planned this so much better. And kind of building on that, we've seen what the Guardians of the Galaxy will be after Infinity Wars is done. They've revealed the roster for them. It's an interesting roster, actually a very interesting roster, but it's very, very hard to muster up interest at this point, because it just like this entire project has been bloated and weird. And what the heck was the point of this in the first place? I can't imagine that they really expected people to spend this much money on this project, because these are not cheap issues, especially when you add in the mini series, the various, you know, side projects.
I mean, I felt like I was going for this countdown for months beforehand, and it was just,
well, you were,
and it just went nowhere. It just went nowhere. And there's all these side stories, and I'm just not in. It's like, no, this is just, and there, you know, all these like 5-6 books a month of this. It's like, this is just not a compelling storyline at all. And it does feel like they're even, it doesn't feel like even they're hyping it up anymore. They're just letting this thing wiggle out because it's maybe not doing the numbers. But no. So what was your last book?
The last book I read was X-23 number 5, which is the end of its story arc, the first story arc of the thing. This had the Stepford Cuckoos in it, fighting against Laura and Honey Badger. The Stepford Cuckoos also in The Gifted on the villain side. They're the three girls who talk with one voice and talk telepathically, etc. There's actually 5 of them. 2 of them are dead. But now they're back to life in this book, at least temporarily. I won't really spoil it. It is actually a fun issue, but don't read it if you haven't read the 4 issues that come before it. It won't make any sense because it is the final issue of the arc. I am enjoying this series, though. X-23 has been a lot of fun. I think it's more because of Honey Badger than X-23, though. Honey Badger is an awesome character. I love her. I want more Honey Badger. Give her own title. So
it's always an odd one. But there we go. So that was some of the highlights of what we've read this last week. We'll be back next week with our thoughts on the new issues coming up. If you have got any suggestions for what we should maybe check out, always feel free to let us know. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can subscribe on all the different audio podcast platforms. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. And James, where can they find you?
You can find me at heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.